Fox News and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM talk. And live right now with your calls.
He said 90 would be the high today. I sometimes believe that humans were intended to hibernate in the summer. That is a belief of mine.
With an AC unit blowing right on them.
Hi, I'm John Potter.
It's Jay Biggs here. It is Weekend Nevada, live, local, and topical. We are on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley, which is exactly why I have the gentleman that's in here with us right now on. It is Stephen Ward from the Urington Chamber of Commerce, and we're here today to talk about the community. Welcome in today to Weekend Nevada, Stephen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Hey, Mason Valley peeps, you got to call us. 775-884-9910. That's who you represent as, well, you're in the Chamber of Commerce in Mason Valley. You're owner of the Yarrington Inn and the only coffee shop in town. Is that right?
That's correct.
That is like
Coffee Slingers.
Yeah.
So good. When you stop through there on your way to Vegas, even if you don't live in that area, you got to stop by Coffee Slingers, get yourself a coffee.
Starbucks heard that and is going, what?
Yeah.
A street without us?
We can work with the chamber to make sure they don't move into town. Anyways,
no Starbucks
said,
there, huh? Really? Okay.
No. Maybe someone brews it at home. But that being said, let's, you know, here's the big thing. You know, being in the Smith and Mason Valley, this is the first guy. He's really cool. He's the first guy I was literally introduced to. When I moved down there, I said, you know what? I'm going to go around to the community. I'm going to shake hands, you know, kiss babies, that whole thing, hand out cards, let them know that, you know, we're down there now with 92.3 live and local. Started meeting some business owners. They said the first person you have to meet is Stephen Ward. So I marched over to the Chamber of Commerce. It's all kind of history from there. We've had lunch, hung out a couple times, and just I love how much stuff that you've got going on, not only just being a business owner, the Chamber of Commerce. You're also, believe it or not, this guy is a director and a guardian of Nevada Honor Flight. So, I mean, he's busy. And didn't you just literally take like 50 veterans and their families over to Pearl Harbor?
We did in the beginning of December to celebrate D-Day. We had 11 World War II vets at that time.
Wow.
It was quite an experience, but it was an interesting trip for us because Honolulu opened up the same week that we went on the flight.
Nice. It's and we just had the anniversary of D-Day, June 6th, 1944.
Yep.
4,413 men died, so freedom would not. And that was our Monday. It marked D-Day, and every day we lose more and more of these heroes. What is the next honor flight trip going to be?
We're doing one that late summer, Okay. Summer in August. It's a special trip.
Extremely worthy charity, really.
Yeah.
Great organization. I've had a lot of fun. Some of my closest friends are associated with it, so it was a nice transition for me. I live in Urington. Everybody calls it that little out there nowhere place, you know, hour and a half from every direction. Mm-hmm. But I was able to meet some good people here in Reno through another special friend in Urington, former commander of VFW. And mm-hmm. He introduced me to this organization, and I've been with him ever since.
Mason Valley, 4th of July celebration and fireworks show. Are you running that thing?
We did a subcommittee on that. The chambers is still slightly involved, but we decided to do another nonprofit. We raise money to do fireworks in the community every year. It's been a phenomenal success story. The money's even being raised faster this year than it had in the past years. But we think we're celebrating our 4th. We do a family day during the day, have vendors, food, music.
You're going to have an announcer out there this year,
we're
too.
We're going to have an announcer, yes.
Oh, Jay.
We got a freebie here with Jay.
Well, I was reading the description of this. You got the VFW presenting the colors to start the day off. You have games and vendors. You have a kids bike parade, a three-legged race.
Yes, the Lions Club does all the youth programs for
a
us.
A watermelon eating contest. I mean, this, you know what this reminds me of? You ever see the Twilight Zone, A Stop at Willoughby?
Right.
Where he gets off the train, and there's Willoughby, and they had these things that I remember as a kid that they don't do anymore. The three-legged race is back.
The Lions Club does morning, the whole morning events. That's the stack races, that's the egg toss. And
We
also end the day with... this time we're going to do that cornhole tournament and a horseshoe tournament.
It's small town America at its best. It literally is.
Yeah.
I got to tell you. And, you know, there's a couple interesting facts about this place. you told me, and I could not believe this, Stephen, when I first met you, you told me that per capita there's more retired Marines in Urington than any other city in the United States.
I get a magazine called the Marine Corps Gazette, and I had just moved to Urington, and my magazine was forwarded to me, and I opened it up, and I just went, what?
Wow.
Third largest Marine retired population in the country. It was in 2017. It was quite an interesting number, since there's always been Army bases in Hawthorne and Fallon.
Well, talk about a patriotic town. I just love how, like, every other house within the city, you know, area there in Urington has, like, an American flag, or they still have the Trump sign up, or, you know. I just love it out there. Yeah, I mean, I love that area. And another cool thing that people may or may not know is that this guy right here, in 2020, obviously everything shut down because of the whole COVID thing. But 2021, they were still trying to put the kibosh on doing any of the fireworks around. And this guy was like, nope, not happening. Outdoor event.
That was a group event. When they shut the Christmas parade down a couple years ago, the community just was not liking it. We've been having, it grew from 7 floats to 60 floats in just a couple years. And when they told us we couldn't have it, that the police and the county sheriffs couldn't support it, we did. We agreed, all right, we'll shut it down for this 1 year. But the community did their own little page on Facebook and went on their own, went rogue in their own way. And we had probably the most. They were bringing out their quads and their 4x4s and their side-by-sides and their Jeeps.
It wasn't sanctioned by the
town. Wasn't sanctioned by anybody.
Town. And okay.
We got a call saying, hey, there's a parade coming. And I had a full house at the hotel that night, and it was kind of interesting. So we stepped out, and sure enough, we couldn't believe how many vehicles were out there. And they were a lot of fun. They were small. It was quaint. It wasn't like the fire trucks and the Perry's 52-footer.
Was there flack over this? Do you have have a town grouch? No,
I didn't meet him that night. That's for sure. But no, we had a lot of positive feedback. Everybody was really happy. COVID has really taken a toll, even on a small community like that. You know, they shut the casinos down. They turn it into a ghost town on you. And for months and months, you don't see a single parking spot on the main street. But it's come back. Everybody's happy to get back. Everybody's happy to get going. This is a new year for us. This is like all right, we're back to normal. That's what one of my friends on the chamber said. It's finally nice to be back to normal. And
yeah, it pretty much is out there.
We're moving forward, and business is good. And
even the masks and stuff, you know, they were pretty lax on it out there.
There's more masks on the ground than are on faces out there, I'll tell you that.
Oh, and that's true. Now here's an interesting thing. I mean, like, so for a lot of folks that are listening here in the Reno area, if you don't know about Urington, I'd say it's about like an hour and a half southeast of here. And I think folks would mostly relate it to night in the country. Like, if you don't know where Urington is, you either say it's that little stop with the castle on the way to Vegas, or it's night in the country, and that's how they know it. Night in the country really impacts that city greatly, and not necessarily in a great way.
Well, it's it brings a lot of people.
Well, it does.
But, you know, further out. But the Boys and Girls Club Night in the Country team, they run that thing pretty well. It's pretty organized. It's fairly clean. More than anything, it's just traffic for a couple days. But
and the shelves at Raley's are bare for a while. But they did purchase some. They recently moved.
Now.
Well, yeah, right? That's a whole other thing. But that being said, they purchased some new property out there for Night in the Country. It's not even going to be in the same place on the fairgrounds, correct?
Right. I haven't gotten all the details. They're doing the plat map right now for me because my coffee trailer will be out there. And we'll honor that. We got a good team that put together to go out. We'll park it out there and enjoy the fun.
Okay,
well, our kids.
This 4th of July would be a great opportunity for people who haven't seen this town to be there to enjoy this small town celebration. Important question, how long are the fireworks going to go for?
Last year it went for 25 minutes.
Did it really?
We had
beautiful.
Some of the other communities canceled their fireworks, and the pyro guys called and said, hey, we got a lot of cancellations. If you got a couple more bucks, we'll make it a show to remember. And they did.
Outstanding. I'm bracing for all the people who are going to send me videos of fireworks after 4th of July and post them all on Facebook and everything. Well, they do it every year.
Hopefully everything's back to normal so everybody can see them everywhere.
You got to be there to see it live. It's just no comparison.
Is there like a Facebook page or anything that someone can go to check out what's going on as far as these fireworks and events coming up for 4th of July?
We have Urington Chamber. You just look it up. It'll be posted on there, all the flyers, all the events. And it's not just that day. We really have events all year long. We have the Christmas parade next Saturday. Denise is having their annual car show.
Right.
Always been a turnout. It's been a fun, great turnout.
And that shuts down downtown, basically, right?
It does. For the whole day, we'll block off. The last two car shows had to extend. I think Sylvia said they had to extend two extra blocks at each end because of how many people were coming. Because when everybody was not doing car shows, we did one last year, and she had a great time. And
right.
The city was busy like nothing was even going on.
We'll have to have Miss Sylvia on to talk about that, too, coming up as well.
Yep.
But you just got to love the community out there. If folks don't know Smith and Mason Valley, I mean, talk about just good old America. It really still is.
For a little town, there's a lot of events. Got a theater out there. Got kids' movies.
Bowling might be opening up soon again.
Bowling might be opening up. They were looking. Mm-hmm. They brought the old engineer back to do a little work on it. So I haven't heard all the final details. They got to. It'll be nice. Everybody really.
And we've hit the big time. There's a crispy, crunchy chicken.
Oh.
Inside of the Golden Gate.
There's plenty of chicken all over town.
I know.
Don't be confused.
Well, you are so Mayberry. Do you have a Floyd the Barber? Do you have an Otis?
We don't. It would be nice. We did once, but COVID kind of pushed him away.
Really?
We got a gal that came out from Hawthorne Military Base and started her own little business, and she did great.
Oh, there's crazy people out there that do hair, too.
Yeah,
But anyway.
Well, that's an interesting industry anyway.
Stephen, thanks for coming out.
Yep.
It's been eye-opening to learn about this great town.
Visit Urington Chamber.
Valley. Okay.
And check it out. And we look forward to seeing you guys out there.
Will do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back here on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk with Weekend Nevada.
99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
It's Weekend Nevada, live, local, and topical. 775-884-9910 is our phone number to call in if you have any questions at all whatsoever. John Potter.
Hello.
Hey.
In the studio, guest this segment, and the topic is bikes. What's your opinion of them? 775-884-9910. Reno has had a couple of changes with bike infrastructure, and I think with the summer and especially with gas prices, we're going to see a bike revolution. So from the Reno Bike Project, I call him a cycle path.
A cycle path?
He is a cycle path. Kirsten Graham, one of the fine people who put the Reno Bike Project together on Grove Street, where they, for very little salary, they take these bikes, they renovate them, and they sell them for like $30. These are quality bikes out there, just to encourage more of the biking community. Hey, Kirsten. Morning. Yeah, thanks for coming here. I didn't recognize you without your bike helmet.
Well, today's a little windy, so I got dropped off, and although I do enjoy riding in all weather, I'm here to chat.
If you go on Kirsten's Facebook page, this guy, he's biking 24 hours a day, every day.
Sounds like you, John Potter.
Where were you biking last? It was a place I never even heard of.
Yeah, just last weekend I did a big loop through the Black Rock Desert and then heading up north into the Sheldon National Wildlife Refuge. I got to sort of parallel the Massacre Rim area, the dark skies. Unfortunately, I didn't get to really appreciate the dark skies because, if we remember, last weekend was pretty unsettled. Wind, rain, cooler temperatures, but I'll get back up there just to see the skies.
We have two bicyclists in the hospital after being struck by a taxi near downtown late Thursday. This was at Evans and 6th Streets. The crash happened just outside Reno's new pilot program for micro-mobility zone downtown, which is testing out two-way bike lanes, bike signals, parking buffers, and bike boxes. And those are rectangles that they draw on the street where bikes can stop at a red light ahead of vehicle traffic. Does this project improve safety for bicyclists, in your opinion?
It's definitely a first start. You know, as with any new program, concessions have to be made on both sides. And when I say on both sides, I mean for both cyclists and for motorists. But it is designed and it's thought out for everyone's safety and convenience. Mm-hmm. It's very easy, though, to enter something like this and be critical of it. You know, you could say, oh, well, how am I supposed to make a left turn across traffic? Oh, how am I supposed to enter or exit this area? Or where am I supposed to park if I'm driving? You know, where should I expect to see cyclists, or where can I expect to see traffic? I mean, all these things are going to be new because it's a new project. So I definitely feel for everyone, and you know, it's really easy. You know, my first impressions out there, oh, they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or what am I supposed to do here? And it's like, okay, take a deep breath.
Well, here's what they did not do right.
Yeah.
Okay, Midtown. Virginia Street, they have that nice big bike line, bike lane, and a sign, you know, for bicyclists, and you stay on the right of the road. But every single side street intersection pushes the bikes back out into the middle of Virginia Street because they extend the sidewalk area at these side streets into Virginia Street. And I go up and down it all the time, and I find myself having to veer into vehicle traffic, which I think is quite dangerous, actually.
Absolutely. You know, as cyclists, we do have to think about our own safety, you know, because unfortunately a car versus a bicycle, well, you're just not going to come out on the right side of that. So maybe with the same sort of feelings and opinions there, I've avoided Virginia Street.
After all the work they did for bicyclists.
And so, you know, I found myself on side streets. And I know just from timing my own north-south routes through Reno that Virginia Street is by far the fastest way for me to get through town by bicycle. I've timed it and I've compared it to other side streets. And it is the most efficient thing for a cyclist. But it's also, like you're saying, probably one of the more dangerous or sort of anxiety elevating. You know, we're almost forced into conflict with vehicles on Virginia Street through Midtown. And yeah, I've had to have some heated discussion with motorists, usually just with their car horn. But at the same time, no one wants to be inconvenienced. And that's why I say concessions need to be made on both sides. And if we can get through this and keep the conversation going, then I think we're going to come out on the right side of this.
CJ is a real internal combustion engine guy.
I'm over here brewing up my question is what it is. No, you know what, Kirsten, I do have a question for you. Now, someone who rides bikes all the time, not myself, but you. So are you seeing any increase in, like, not having as much safety around town because of these new, like, motorized, or not motorized, but these new electric bicycles and the scooters that are being implemented around town? Are you seeing any issue with, like, folks trying to share the bike lanes as well? And they should, you know, like, what do you think about those being around? Do you like the electric scooters and all that? Or do you think that they're a hinder to bicyclists who are just trying to pedal?
I think if everything gets used properly and to its best form, then they are a good thing. You know, if I'm asked, you know, what do you think about electric bicycles? I say, I think they're great. You know, if that gets more people on bicycles,
right,
then I'm all for it. The electric scooters, you know, for many people, for transportation, say at the end of your bus line or whatever it happens to be, just to quickly get around town, if it's an alternative to, you know, using a car, then I am all for it. Now, do I see people, you know, really riding them recklessly or dangerously? And the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the common sense, it's almost like Aladdin's magic carpet ride. You hop on and you whiz off and you're like, oh, I'm floating. I can go anywhere. And look how mobile they are. I can just zip around. I can hop up on the sidewalk and I can go the wrong way down the street.
And I just left the casino where I got a free drink.
Yeah. You know? And so, you know, We can all be that angry old man who tells the kids to get off their right. lawn and do all these things. And my hope is that, you know, we'll just catch up over time. You know, people will figure out how to use them to their best abilities.
We can coexist eventually, hopefully.
Exactly.
That would be nice.
It's going to require some education and some enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I hope by starting with education, maybe we can avoid some of the enforcement.
Okay.
But I'm all for it.
Good words. Folks, go to the Reno Bike Project on Grove Street, right up there by Virginia.
What?
A couple of blocks down.
From the 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. That's what I was thinking
Big pink building across from the 7-Eleven.
Grove and Rondell area.
Halfway between Virginia and Kitski.
Get a great used bike for a great price, and the people there are super cool, and they will, if you're a newbie, I'll give you all the ins and outs. And we got to stop NDOT from putting up those work zone ahead signs right on the bike lane.
In the bike lane.
Oh, yes. Pet peeve. Kirsten, thank you so much for coming out on Weekend Nevada.
Thank you. Have me on anytime.
All right. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Weekend Nevada, live, local, and topical. Our number here, if you have any questions or you just want to say something, as long as it's interesting, 775-884-9910. And if you did not know, we do have a podcast each and every broadcast right here within 10 minutes of the end of the hour. You can check out that podcast so you can take us along with you wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you're listening. Maybe you're in the car, maybe in the shower. It does not matter. You can take us along anytime at 991fmtalk.com. John.
Yes.
One thing.
Yes,
Jay. Before we get on to our next guest, did you see Danny Tarkanian last night
on
Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, you were just telling me about that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to have him on there. He did really good, too. But another guy who I suspect is going to do really well is the guy that's right here in studio live with us today. I'm talking about Brett Dallaire, who's running for Assembly District number 26. Brett, welcome to the show today.
District,
hey,
hey, Brett.
Having me.
That district is west of Reno, covers Verdi, Incline Village.
Incline Village, south Reno, west of Washington.
All the way down to just before Carson City, right?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Interesting candidate here we have with Brett Dallaire. Is this first time running?
No, I ran for a county commissioner, District 2, 4 years ago.
All right. So he's fired up. I heard him talking to our bike guy in the lobby.
Well, he's got some stuff to discuss. And, man, let me tell you, they're hot topics, and they need to be discussed. So he wants to talk about making Nevada a constitutional state. Yeah, please. Protect locally owned businesses. And, of course, ban CRT from public schools, which you were mentioning earlier, John, you didn't think was implemented. But, man, they slip it in.
It hasn't. And, well, they probably won't give up on that effort.
Well,
you don't think so, do you?
That's until we give up, people like me and Brett Dallaire.
Yeah, this is a nationwide effort to indoctrinate our children with this kind of Marxist ideology.
Shame on them.
And if we're not ready to fight it here before it comes, it will be here, and then it will be too late. They're already introducing all kinds of education, sex education to very young kids. And, you know, I'd have to ask, what is their fascination with our children, really? They want to mandate vaccines for them. They want to mask them up. If you look at, you know, what this the COVID-19, who it was really affecting, they never age stratified this. It was really affecting people 70 or older, or people with other comorbidities. Sweden, which did no lockdowns, no mask mandates, nothing, had zero deaths in the age group of 0 to 16. So that just tells you, you know, we didn't need to send the kids home from school or mask them up.
Now, you know, I'll tell you something, Brett, not to take too long out of this year, but my mom actually passed away what they called COVID. In the hospital, and she always preached something to me. It was called euthanasia. You know, when you turn like a certain age or something, you become a burden on society, you know, and it's just over. But, you know, this COVID thing, boy, did it sure hit, like you said, people over 70, burdens on the medical system, society, people that had underlying health conditions. and stuff. You know, it's just a little bit odd to me that this sickness affected that genre of people, because it really did. I mean, it hit those older Americans hard. It still is, in fact.
And those in bad health, the extremely overweight and such. I was only very upset about the schools being closed with kids that age, really infinitesimal effect from COVID.
Killing the immune system.
But anyway, that's looking back.
Yeah, but let me, not to contradict you on this, but I do have the numbers in front of me. And these are important numbers. Where I got these numbers, the source is directly from CDC.gov and census.gov. So what I did was I took the total number of U.S. deaths and I put that over the total U.S. population. So then you can figure out what percentage of the population died on any given year. So I went from 2015 to 2020. So the percentage of people that died was less than 1%. It was actually 0.85% in 2015. It stayed that way in 2016. In 2017, it had a slight jump to 0.87%. That's just a 2.3% increase. Statistically, it's really insignificant. It stayed at 0.87% up through 2019. In 2020, it jumped to, it just was at 0.88%. Then, so in the height of the pandemic, 2020, there was no rise in the overall number of deaths.
All right.
In 2021, after the introduction of the COVID injections, they were introduced in December of 2020, we saw a 18% increase in the overall number of deaths. This meant that a little over 1% of the population, 1.04% of the population, died this year. Now, I'm not saying what they died of. I'm just saying that they died. It's a finite thing. You're either alive or you're dead. There's no playing around with that. They did play around with the numbers with the PCR test. They were over-amplifying to pick up any kind of virus in the system and then declaring somebody who fell off a ladder as dying of COVID. But they didn't whether they did or not, there's manipulation involved.
It targeted the seniors and it targeted those who were had bad health habits.
Right. So that's who we should have been targeting instead of targeting kids with this.
Yes.
Or anybody, even my age.
But then you got Bill Gates in there who says we have a population problem, but he's trying to help save the population with this vaccine. Anyway.
Well, he's achieving his goals. If the goal of this vaccine was to reduce the population and you have an 18% increase in deaths in 2021 after the rollout of these COVID injections, well, congratulations, Bill Gates.
Well, speaking of deaths,
put your headphones on because we got a call.
We do have a call. And this is something that is huge that we do definitely need to discuss, especially for someone that's running for assembly in District 26 or any district. They definitely need to touch on this. We have Charles right now on air with us from Mound House. He wants to discuss guns in schools. Charles, what's on your mind here on Weekend Nevada?
Oh, I keep hearing all the stuff nationwide about actually getting security guards and guns in schools, and it's just this huge, huge debate. I think that they're missing a point, though, that we need to protect the kids. Is there any way we can get some legislation through that will allow our school districts to get non-lethal means, such as pepper spray, stun guns, things like that, into the classroom for these teachers? With non-lethal, you're totally reducing the risk of actually a kid getting shot with a missed bullet or what have you, which is one of the biggest concerns. But I think the school districts feel like they're kind of at a stranglehold that they can't approve these things because it's not in the legislature.
I understand the question and what you're asking. One solution has been to arm the teachers. Okay, but we know that most of the teachers are liberals. Do we want to arm a bunch of liberals and have them being the ones to protect our kids in these schools?
They're begging to be disarmed, basically.
Yeah, they're the ones who are the biggest proponents of disarming.
I'm not asking to arm any teachers here. What I'm asking is, can we give them non-lethal means to at least protect? If you can blind a guy with a pepper spray, that's going to at least give you an opportunity to protect yourself a little bit better.
You know, Charles, that's a good question. What do you think? Do you think non-lethal would be the way to... Here's my thing on this whole thing. And I was just talking actually with Colleen about this earlier today. And it's that if you have a weapon in the classroom, no matter what it is, all it takes is two students that are smart enough to know that that teacher has a weapon. One distracts, the other one gets the weapon. Doesn't matter what it is. If it were a firearm, well, then we have another mass shooting. If it's non-lethal, then, you know, yeah, at least it's not lethal happening. But at the same time, you've still got students that have some sort of a weapon in possession right there in the school. So, I mean, it's kind of a thin line, you know, like, what do you do?
Well, another solution is this, is that, like Trump said, when we open up our borders, we are allowing crime and drugs into our country. So we can kill two birds with one stone with this. If we shut down our borders and lock them, we're preventing crime and drugs from coming into our communities. And that is a big proponent of what's going on, what we saw in Texas. So we need to address the mental health issues, the family structure. It's not just preventing the, a gun issue. It's a lot of other issues tied into this issue.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Charles.
Go ahead. I appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it. Brett Dallaire, it's been very interesting hearing from you. Good luck, Assembly District 26 candidate.
How do people find out about you?
BrettDallaire.com. You can read more. I have, you know, all of the speeches that I give. It's all written out there. And, you know, a lot of the dangers of these COVID injections and, you know, what I can do for Nevada. It's a global issue, but it's also a local issue because we've all seen it hitting, impacting us and our children. We couldn't go out to the grocery store for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are local issues that are tied up in global issues here.
Brett, thank you much. Caller, stay on the line because our next guest is running for Nevada Assembly also, this time for District 40. We have P.K. O'Neill coming up next on Weekend Nevada at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1FMTalk.com.
John Potter with Jay Biggs, Weekend Nevada at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Our phone line 775-884-9910. We have an Assembly candidate in the studio. Let's clear the lines. Bob is calling in. Hey, Bob, welcome to the show, Weekend Nevada. What's new?
Yeah, this is Bob at Sparks. Okay. And first of all, I want to say I'm enjoying your show as usual. I'm glad to see you're pointing these very important topics on and having various candidates. Now, I have a quick question and I have a comment. Question is, have you seen 2,000 mules? Hello?
I haven't personally. What is that?
Oh, that's that documentary that played in Reno, I think, for a week. Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. And this isn't John. Is John there?
Yes, hi. How are you, sir? Yep.
Yes, I'm fine. Have you seen it, John? 2,000 mules?
It already left town, but, you know, I'm a Redbox guy, and everything that leaves town, I catch the DVD of. But I'll watch it. Okay. Thanks for the recommendation.
Well, don't worry about it. I will make sure you get a copy within the next couple of days. I'll send it to your studio. Okay? And then
thank
I
you, sir.
Appreciate it if you look at it and pass it around. Now, the second thing is I'm a retired school teacher. I moved up here 5 years ago to beautiful downtown Sparks, okay? I love it here. I found out that the school district needed a lot of subs, so I jumped right in, and I've subbed in probably 12 or 13 different schools in the district. Now, I'm trying to remember, but if I'm not mistaken, every one of those schools has doors that are locked, they have windows, they have cameras to see who comes in. Nobody gets in unless they look like they should be there. So that's a real good start right there, okay? Just keep the bad guys out. Number two.
Reassuring.
Forget about the forget about these free zone, gun-free zone zones. That is the biggest invitation. Like, come on in, you know, bring your guns and shoot them up, you know. So I think there's a lot of things that could be done without even arming the teachers. I personally, if I were a teacher and they asked me to do it, I would certainly do it. I'm a gun owner and have been around guns all my life. Had my first gun when I was 10 years old. So did my friends.
All right, Bob.
We grew up in the country, there was no problem.
Well, Bob, thank you for your call on Weekend Nevada. It's unfortunate the kids even have to go to a school that looks and kind of resembles like a prison, right? You know, there's that one entry in and out, and everything else is blocked off from coming in. But let's talk about some other things going on. We have got P.K. O'Neill here. He's the assemblyman for District Number 40. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And that district basically covers all of Carson City going into Tahoe. You call yourself a proud.
Let's correct that if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, I want to agree with Bob. We need to get away with the gun-free zones.
Okay.
We noticed all the shootings that we've had across the country.
Right.
I've been in gun-free zones. And so I appreciate that suggestion from him, and I agree with him wholeheartedly on that. But as to the district, you were saying it's all of Carson City, all of Story County.
Right.
And then it follows up along the eastern edge of Washoe County up to Sparks.
Yes.
They added on several new areas.
I was going to say that, but yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It goes all the way west to Tahoe, too. Well, do you have any comments about what Bob said?
Well, just like I said, I fully agree with him. The shootings that we've had across the country have been in gun-free zones. It's an invitation. You automatically know.
Yes. The lunatics know that's where the cowards are.
Yes. Then it gets a lot deeper after that, and I'm sure he'd agree
with you.
Well, I
mean, cowards, I don't mean the people in there.
No.
I mean the people who set up a gun-free zone.
Yes.
The targets right there.
And we tried to change that back in 2015.
Right.
And unfortunately, people did not agree, and it was voted down in the legislature. But I think it needs to be part of the discussion. The movie, the 2000...
Rifles or
mules.
Mules, yeah.
Is also another one that's great for opening up the discussion that we need to have.
You see, you have a great viewpoint because your whole career was law enforcement, even the FBI, as I understand it.
I was a consultant with them. I was not an agent. I had to work with them. But I did work. I supervised a task force on Indian crimes that had BIA and FBI agents in it along with the state. For 5 years. And so, yeah, my whole career has been in law enforcement, 40 years.
The boundaries in your district changed a little bit, didn't they?
Boy, did they ever. And it included new areas. That's why I've been trying to get out a lot to the new areas there in Hidden Valley, out to Lockwood, up to Story County, and learn about the counties, learn about their issues up there in the Virginia Highlands. One of the biggest issues up there is water for them. There are actually people up there that unfortunately have to truck water in. Some people can drill a well on the smaller lots, have water. The neighbor comes in, starts drilling their well, cracks part of the rocks, and the water will drain out, and now they're left high and dry. There's a lot of issues that they have. But I will tell you, at the end of the day, the residents of the Highlands love it there. It's gorgeous, absolutely a gorgeous area to be. To me, you might say it's true Nevada, and how you can leave this downtown Reno area that we're in right now that is commercialized and travel just 10 miles or less up 341 and have this beautiful rural area of Nevada.
Bravo.
All right. Well, you know what? We do have to go to a break, but I'm going to keep PK. I want you to hang out with us for another segment, if you don't mind, please.
Good.
We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
So, stay on board with us here. We're going to be right back. Weekend Nevada.